And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We've got a loaded show today, a lot to get to. John Glennon from Broadway Sports will join us at 7:45. We'll get into the latest with the Titans and Preds with John coming up then at 9 o'clock. It's our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll recap the Super Bowl, look ahead to the NFL offseason with him. Looking forward to that conversation with Charles. And then 9:30, Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, drops by as well. And remember, it's Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have our question of the day coming up later this hour that you can respond to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Always taking your text at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing fine. Nothing.
Ryan Porth, you look great in there once again today. It's unbelievable. Look at him. He's even so busy.
He's already he's ignoring you. The show just started.
It took a minute and 12 seconds, and he's already just totally tuned me out.
Feeling kind of frisky today.
Oh, yeah. A little frisky.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, don't come
weird, that weirds me out a little bit.
Not,
but okay.
To me.
not towards any sort of hockey team in this city.
St. Louis Blues?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Speaking of hockey, Joe Rex Road wasn't good last night for the Nashville Predators. They fall 4-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they have now lost four of their past five games. As you watched the Predators last night, what stood out to you against Tampa Bay?
Hopelessness. again, hopelessness when you're taking on that team. It's just
they're so good.
Yeah, they're just so good. I thought the Preds had some big kills. I'm trying to find positives. They had some big kills. I thought Pecorino was really good. That first goal is unfortunate. You know, and that's one of those things where if one of those gets in against the Lightning,
it's
probably going to be a long night. You know, it's tough. But it's just watching this team try to create offense 5-on-5 right now is not easy to watch.
Look, we're going to talk about Ryan Johansson a little bit later in the show. There's some news coming out on him yesterday that we'll get to. And I realize Ryan Johansson has not had a very good season thus far. But if you think this team is a better team as currently constructed without Ryan Johansson, I would point to the last two games and tell you to look at that offense 5-on-5 and ask, where's it going to come from? I mean, that's right now, they're having so much trouble generating offense. I mean, I think they were almost through the end of the second period last night and had 13 shots on goal. I mean, that's just not going to do it. And Tampa Bay, look, we talk about Tampa Bay. Obviously, we know they're good. And offensively, they've got a lot of really good pieces. Defensively, they've been the best team in the league so far. So they are very difficult to generate against. I understand that. But you did have a goaltender last night starting a game for the first time in 11 months. And that should be something if you're the Predators that you try to take advantage of pretty early in that game. And I thought the Predators really could never get anything going offensively in the first period, really the second period either. They finally made a push in the third. They got rolling kind of halfway through the third period. Fabro gets on the board on the power play, which good to see him do that. He's had some bad luck shooting the puck this year. He's hit a few posts and crossbars, gets one to go in for him on the power play, but it's just too little too late in these games when they start to get going offensively, and you can't play that way. Like you've got to find a way to generate more offense in the first and second periods, and right now that's a big-time issue with this team.
I thought Tolvanen looked good on the power play.
He did.
Trying to find positives. He had some chances.
He did.
He's got a nice feel. He's got a nice feel for passing the puck on the power play, you know, crafty. What else? Like you said, Fabro scored. You said that already?
Yeah.
Did you say that part? Okay. Yeah, it's
I mean, Tampa only tough, scored man. Twice without the with the goalie in the net. Had two empty netters, so.
That's true. That's true, too. There Same. We go. There's always another side to it. So Saros tonight, we get his shot.
You would think.
Right?
I would think so.
Back-to-back with Pekka at this point, can you?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No, but I think I saw enough from Pecorine last night to give him both Detroit games.
I would say so. Unless Saros just comes out tonight.
Pending tonight, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not holding my breath on that one.
No. I mean, it's look, it's they've lost 4 out of 5. Offense is a big issue right now. And look, they know it. I mean, I'm sitting there waiting for the press conference to begin last night, and time keeps ticking by and ticking by and ticking by, and nobody's shown up. And I'm thinking to myself, huh, what's going on here? There's a players-only meeting, and they kind of stayed in the locker room and hashed some things out, and then Dante Fabbro comes out, and then Roman Josi comes out, and Roman Josi was asked about the players-only meeting last night and what was going on, just kind of what the general idea was. Here's what Predators captain Roman Josi had to say following the game last night.
Roman, we're aware that the team held a meeting after the game, players specifically. What was the general message? And as captain, what is your role in those types of meetings?
With all due respect, Adam, I'm not going to discuss what was said, but obviously we're not playing up to our potential right now. It's pretty obvious, and we need to find a way to get out of this. It's such a short season. So yeah, we talked amongst players, and we got to stick together and find a way out of this.
So that was Roman Josi after the game last night, and look, I've been around him a long time. He doesn't really get frustrated in the media. Like he just doesn't. That's not the way that he works. Last night was about as close as I've seen, outside of, like, you know, playoff losses where your soul has just been ripped out and you're trying to find the words. Like going into the locker room after the Stanley Cup final, one of the most depressing places I've ever been in my life. So outside of situations like that, last night was probably the most, I don't know if annoyed's the right word or just mad Roman Josi that I've seen. And I think, you know, you're 12 games into a season and you just can't get anything going right now, 5-on-5 offensively. It's just got to be tough. Right now, they are going through it right now. And the problem is, with this season, 56 games, you don't have time to get in a lull like this because it's too hard to dig your way out. And then that's going to be the challenge for them now. But they've got a lot of work to do in a hurry, or they're going to find themselves in a hole that may be insurmountable.
Well, since we're talking about Josi right now, can he be a part of this? Does he need to be a bigger part of this offensively? You know, does there need to be an adjustment made to make him a bigger part of this? I don't know. Or is it just on him?
Well, look, I mean, he's your best player. I mean, he is. He's got 6 points in 12 games, 2 goals, 4 assists. He's a defenseman. We've talked about the way that they run things now, I think, takes Roman Josi out of it a little bit more offensively. Look, sometimes you just got to give your best player the puck. I realize that's not what you want to do. Like, I still don't believe the best course of action for a team to win consistently and to compete at a high level is just having your defenseman drive everything. Like, I think you're asking too much at that point, and you need your forwards to take control. But if they're not going to take control, at some point you got to give keys back to Josi and just say, hey, man, go do your thing. We'll see if we can get a rebound or something like that. Like, whatever they're doing right now offensively, it's not working. And it's not like, especially the last two games, it's not even a situation where you're getting chances and feeling good about it and that it's going to turn around soon. The last two games, 5-on-5, are among the worst games I've seen them play in a long time from an offensive standpoint. I mean, they haven't been able to generate anything.
Numbers back that up?
Yeah, I mean, well,
like the Corsi,
they do to a certain degree. Now, they were credited with 8 high danger chances.
I saw
Friday
that
night.
Last night,
and I was
7.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, who's tracking this thing?
Yeah, like last night, I think it said they had 7.
Yeah.
Right? Did you see 7?
No, I mean, they must have all come in the third period. But
yeah, they had a little.
I mean,
the
Florida game, they were credited with 8, and I was like, I must miss those because I did not see 8 high danger chances 5-on-5 in the Florida game on Friday night. So, look, I don't know specifically how great the numbers back it up, but I can see. I saw a heat map on Natural Stat Trick last night. They didn't approach the slot. So that's a problem. I mean, you've got to find a way to get to those areas and generate. And like I said, Tampa Bay has been the best defensive team in the league so far. So I understand that, but they are having a lot of trouble right now offensively getting anything going. And when they do get in the zone, they're having a trouble sustaining. I mean, it feels like they're one and done, and then it's going back the other way.
Part of my barometer on the Preds is two guys we have every week on the show, C. Mace and Crispy. I thought both of them were like at times clearly like unhappy with what they were seeing last night.
Yeah.
And you know, Crispy's happiest guy in the world. he was a little bit testy after the first period. And you know, some good critical stuff from C-Mace, just and kind of pointing out the opponent, see, shoot the puck on the power play or get the puck on the net and go to that. Look at how they go to the net, how they get in there and the bodies, you know, just glom onto the puck area as soon as it's shot. That's what you have to do. But, I mean, there's something that's been talked about over and over for so long with this team.
No, it has. And, look, I mean, the I thought when they were first put together, that Forsberg-Duchesne-Granlund line was really good. The last couple of games, they've been invisible out there. And that when you've got Johansson out, that can happen. I mean, you've got to find ways to generate if you're that line. And the tough part is, with Johansson out, if you look around the rest of the lineup right now, if those guys aren't producing offensively, where's the rest of it going to come from? I mean, you've got some good players, but your offensive guys have got to be the ones that carry you. And right now with Ryan Johansson out down the middle, I mean, you're just extremely thin right now at that position offensively.
So is this where I wonder, like, if they could use Craig Smith right now? Well, I know you shoot that down.
Well, I mean, could they use him right now? Yeah, probably. How much of a difference does he make in the end? I don't know.
Yeah, and he was part of all the stuff last year.
Yeah. But he's off to a Craig Smith start in Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll end up with whatever the 82-game equivalent of 22 goals is. That's what he'll end up with in Boston.
And that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds good right now.
It sounds okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, without Johansson, they've got a borderline first line, two third lines, and a fourth line.
Pretty much, yeah. And, you know, they had a couple chances last night. Like, Nick Cousins had one where he was trying to pick out the corner, and he beat McElhinney, and it hit off the knob of his stick. Like, you're talking about a fraction of an inch the other way, and it's in the net. But that's hockey. Like, that's what hockey is. It's a fraction of an inch here or there that you've got to be able to bear down and execute on. Sometimes it is luck. And right now, a combination of bad luck and just not generating much of anything, it's not a good combo for the Preds offensively. So,
well, you need three or four of those too.
Yeah.
You know, if you have three or four of that exact same, then one or two go in.
Right. And you're just not getting there consistently enough. And that's been a huge problem the last few games. And now you look at the numbers offensively, they're near the bottom of the league in goals per game. So that is not a recipe for success when you're also continuing to give up power play goals every game. And special teams has still been a major negative for this group. So a lot to figure out with the Nashville Predators. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Predators, introduce our poll question of the day. And there was a theme in the post-game press conference last night that we've heard for a while now with this group. Why has it not changed at this point? We'll discuss it when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
They drop the puck and that's the game. Lightning take it. Predators got a goal to cut it to 2-1 earlier on in the third period. Then the Lightning get two into the empty net.
Hey, Roman, you guys talked a lot last year about the inconsistencies, and you've talked about it this year as well. Why do you think that continues to be the case with this group, and how frustrating has that process been?
Yeah, it's frustrating for sure. Like I said, it's such a short season, and it's important to get off to a good start. And yeah, playing in your division the whole year, it's huge. Consistency is a huge thing. And like I said, that's something we need to figure out, and we need to figure it out quickly. And it's got to come for us. And we need to figure out. We don't have any time to play inconsistent. So yeah, we got to find a solution quick.
That was Predators captain Roman Josi after the game last night. A 4-1 loss for the Nashville Predators against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your reaction all show long, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Joe, the Predators have lost four of the last five, and with that in mind, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. What's your level of concern for the Preds after a fourth loss in five games and the beginning of this season? Still early? neutral, slightly concerned, or very concerned. Very early in the voting process right now, 70% say very concerned, 21% slightly concerned, 5% neutral, and 4% still early. So the mass is very concerned about this Nashville Predators team.
I don't think there'll be a lot of sunshine in this poll.
Not early. Not a lot of sunshine blowers.
You mentioned 4 out of 5, you know, losses. The one win was, you know, we were like, could this be that?
Yeah.
Actually, it may just be the crazy outlier, and this team could easily be on a 5-game losing streak right now.
Yeah, and you're 5-7-0 to begin the season, and it's one of those things where you look at the schedule. It's you got to have a sense of urgency, and you heard Yossi talk about, like, you don't have a lot of time to dig your way out of this. It's on them to figure it out. And the problem is we've heard that. Like, we've heard that for the last 2 years. And the results continue to be the same. And that, to me, is the concerning part if you're a Predators fan. And I asked John Hines about that last night after the game. We've heard this team and the players talk about inconsistency for the better part of the last 2.5 seasons. Why is it not changing? Like, why is that message still the message coming out of the locker room? I asked John Hines about that last night. Here's what he had to say.
We're certainly searching for reasons where we can be more consistent and try to show them, you know, here's when we do it right. This is what it requires. This is what needs to be done. And then at times, you know, at times we do it. Sometimes we do it. We don't do it long enough. It seems when we get behind, we do it, you know, more often and more consistently than we're in. If I had the answer to the riddle at this point, I think we would be able to solve it, but it's on all of us to be able to find a way to solve it. And, you know, we have addressed it. We've talked to it. You know, obviously when the players are talking about it, we've done it. You know, and as I've said, it's you're addressing it. You want to have some answers on what's going on the ice of, you know, where you can maintain the consistency and what doesn't allow your consistency to stay. But it's not good enough right now.
So that was Predators head coach John Hines after the game last night talking about the inconsistency that continues to plague this team. And, Joe, it's one of those things where, I mean, it's the NHL. You're not going to play perfectly every single night. But this team, for the last couple years, has just been so erratic in their play. And John Hines used that word the other day when talking about individual players and just the erraticness of it. I mean, some nights you look great, some nights you're not making an impact on the game at all whatsoever. And that, it's just tough to win with any sort of consistency that way when your top guys are playing that way. It's just too much to ask in today's NHL.
Yeah, so James Brown on Twitter, great name.
Yeah.
His answer to the poll is they're simply not talented enough. They're led by a coach who's never been a winner at this level. The rebuild has begun. I think the first part, more and more, is becoming apparent. You know, John Hines, early in his career, had one playoff season with the Devils. He was fired there. The rebuild has begun. See, the thing is, it hasn't, though.
Right.
So, you know, now it may. It may be on the cusp of beginning, but it has not begun.
Right. No, I mean, I was looking at this season thinking, all right, I mean, you still have Roman Yossi, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, all these different guys, theoretically in the primes of their career. Like, age-wise, they should be in the prime of their career right now. It's not the time for a rebuild. I mean, Ryan Ellis in that discussion and Matthias Ekholm as well. It's not the time for a rebuild. And the more I watch this team, the more I think, man, maybe it is. Now, they're 5-7. You get a win tonight against Tampa Bay, you got Detroit coming in, you've got a chance to build some momentum, because if you've watched Detroit play, man, you talk about a rebuild. They're right in the thick of one right now. But
yeah, they've been in the thick of one for a while now.
So that's the danger of getting into a rebuild, is at what point are you going to get out of it? That's the problem that you have. But
you got to go so low that you get one of those transformational players, which the Red Wings have not been able to do.
No.
Some of these other teams have been able to do.
Exactly.
And can you get that low? That's hard to do, too.
Well, does that player exist? Like, this draft, I mean, it's not every year that you get a player like that.
Like, is Lafreniere going to be that guy? He may not even be that good.
Right. I mean, you know, you think about Jack Hughes in New Jersey, like, he's probably going to be pretty good. Is he going to be that guy?
He's not Connor McDavid.
I mean, right. Yeah, he's not Connor McDavid, that's for sure. So some of it is like when you go through that too. Like Pittsburgh, you go through a process like that, you end up with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Yeah, probably gonna help out a little bit. Washington, you know, Backstrom and Ovechkin, that probably help. Chicago, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane. You run into a couple of those guys, then the rebuild looks pretty attractive, and you can go that route. But if you don't, if those guys aren't there, you could be stuck in rebuild for a long time if you choose to go that way. So that's the delicate balance of that, is you don't want to jump into one of those too quickly just for the sake of jumping into one.
Well, and Boston is an example of a team that sort of retooled.
Yeah.
Right? And kind of kept a core. But
I mean, heck, St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah. So I mean, you can do that. And I think obviously that's been the mindset. But to your point, and that's where it gets hard too, is like, is it just you isolate these individuals and say, okay, is we know we've talked about Johansson a million times. Like, is Arvidsson on the decline? Has he seen his best days, for example? There's one guy. You know, what is Duchesne moving forward? I mean, or is it? Because, look, you're going to hear this, and you heard, I mean, Laviolette, it was this system just is terrible, which, I mean, I think is ridiculous. I mean, you look at his overall track record. I mean, look, when Poile fired him, Poile basically said, I don't want to fire him. I want to fire a bunch of players, but I'm firing the coach, right?
Right, because you can't fire all the players.
But Hines will get blamed. You know, if there's certainly like forwards who aren't producing under him in a small sample size, nearly what they were under Laviolette. So how much is it system versus just individuals not being as good as they were individually recently?
Well, yeah, but the other part of that is like how many systems you got to go through where players aren't producing before you look at the players. Like,
oh, I agree. I mean, yeah.
We're having, you know, similar conversations that we had near the end of Peter Laviolette's tenure right now. And at some point, you got to look at the players in the room and just be like, it's time for you guys to either start producing or get out. I mean, that's what it is. And I think we knew that heading into this season. I think David Poile basically has said that. I mean, it's talking about this is a big year. We talked about it for the four guys in Duchesne, Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg. But I think this is a big year for everybody. Like, you've got to find a way to produce. And if you're running into the same problems that you had under a previous coaching staff, if that's the case, I mean, I turn around and look at the players. Like, you got to find new players if they can't do it.
That would be my instinct too. But coaches, you know, coaches get fired in this league a lot.
Yeah.
They get fired at a higher rate in this league than the other three major leagues. So why is that? Is it just because it's hard to put a finger on why some guys struggle?
I mean,
you know, because I mean, really, what? What kind of, like, how much impact does system have on individual performance?
I mean, it has an impact, but by and large, like, most systems in hockey are relatively the same. I mean, they're not all, like, exactly the same, and the terminology can be different, but it's not like people are out there, you know, running the West Coast offense while everybody else is running the power eye.
Like, well, like when guys get traded, it's not like they need a week to be able to go play. Go play. You're on this line. Go play.
A lot of it's just going out and playing hockey. Like, so much of hockey anyway is reading and reacting to how fast things are going out there. You've got a structure in place that you want to try to keep your game inside of, and you operate that way. But it's not, like I said, it's not like it's overly complicated from team to team. I mean, you've got your instances where maybe you're running a trap in the neutral zone and other guys are running, you know, 1-3-1 or a 1-2-2. I mean, there are different ways to go about it, but it's not like it's massively different across the board.
So what's the most important impact of a coach in this league?
Maximizing his players. And right now, if you're the team, with the way things are going offensively, could you make the argument, like you said earlier, to maybe try to maximize the defenseman a little more? Like, you know, Willie and Mace were talking about it on the broadcast on TV last night. The Predators don't have a goal from their defenseman 5-on-5. Like, think about that. The Nashville Predators and how much offense they've gotten from their defenseman in the past, they don't have a goal 5-on-5. Now, Roman Josi has scored on the power play. He scored 3-on-3. Fabro gets one on the power play last night, but they do not have a goal from their defenseman 5-on-5. And that's incredible to think about when you think about this franchise and how much production they've had offensively from their defenseman.
Well, we've talked earlier about Josi, and again, coming off the Norris, and a guy that, to me, you want him driving a certain amount of offense. I think back to like Ekholm a couple years ago. And I don't know, I kind of thought, wow, are we seeing Ekholm kind of reach a new level of offensive you know, efficiency and impact, and just don't see that anymore much.
Yeah, and maybe some of that's – I thought some of that last year was playing with Fabro and just kind of helping a rookie move along, and maybe that's still the case. Maybe that's still – they're still asking him to be much more, I guess, defensively responsible and take less risk with him out there. But
he's a guy who can do stuff.
He is, and he's a guy that I've always thought probably needs more time on the power play than he's gotten, and, of course, didn't play last night. I mean, congratulations to him and Ida expecting a child, but – when he missed, like, that's another example. Like, when he was out, you take one of these defensemen away, all of a sudden, like, Jarrett Tenorti's out there playing in your top four.
Well, Yossi and Ellis played almost 30 minutes each last night.
Yeah.
Specifically Yossi.
Yeah. So, it's one of those things where you lose a couple of guys right now, and the depth looks pretty thin all of a sudden. And one of the guys that they've lost, Ryan Johansson. Some news on him yesterday that was not good for the Nashville Predators. How does that impact them as they move forward? And with that in mind, what does the future look like for Ryan Johansson here in Nashville? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking about the Nashville Predators. They fall 4-1 last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Two empty netters by Tampa Bay to salt the game away at the end. And Joe, some news yesterday on the Nashville Predators that we found out after the morning skate. Ryan Johansson has missed the last couple of games. He left in the, the end of the second period, did not come back out for the third in their 6-5 win against Florida on Thursday night, has missed the past two games, and he's going to miss a few more. John Hines saying yesterday, Ryan Johansson is week to week, and he will be reevaluated at the end of this week. And Joe, I said it before earlier in the show, I realize Ryan Johansson is having a bad season, and he's got 4 assists in 10 games, and you expect more offensively, and you need production to be there way more consistently from Johansson than it has been in the last season and a half. But that lineup without him right now does not look great offensively. And this is one of those situations where two things can be true. And I tweeted out the news yesterday that Johansson is week to week and he'll be reevaluated at the end of the week. And I get it. This comes with the territory of when you're a high-paid player and you're struggling. But some of the responses on Twitter, which, as we know, that's where you go for the real judgment, is Twitter.
That's right.
Yeah, was just, oh, well, they're better off without him. All this, they might as well, what's the difference between having him out and not, and him, having him in the lineup? Who cares? And I understand that comes with the territory. But this is a situation where two things can be true. You can be disappointed in Ryan Johansson and his production and expect that he needs more. You can ask, I think, fairly the question where Ryan Johansson fits into the plans as they move into the future, while also recognizing that this team, as currently constructed, absolutely needs Ryan Johansson on the ice. I mean, there's zero question about that.
Yeah, agree with all that. Does this mean at all that even with his non-production, he was playing maybe better than we thought?
I mean, maybe.
You got to produce.
Yeah, I mean, you got to produce. Like, you look at the underlying numbers, they're not bad. He was generating some scoring chances possession-wise. They've been good.
Win some face-offs.
He's won some face-offs, as we know. And defensively, I think he's had some moments where he's been really good on that side. But, again, you're paid to produce. And I understand that that's always going to be the first thing you look to with Johansson. It should be the first thing you look to with Ryan Johansson. And it has not been good in that area. 4 assists in 10 games, a lot of those assists coming on the power play as well. You need more 5-on-5 from Ryan Johansson. But it's just one of those things where you look at that lineup last night, and no disrespect to Cali Yarncroke and guys like that, but when they're playing in the top 6 on your center, you're not in a good spot.
No disrespect, but I love that one.
Well, I mean.
No, I mean, it's, you know.
He's not a top 6 player. Yeah.
So, should have kept James Neal. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, there's every time Cali Yarncroke does anything bad, there's some of that on Twitter too.
James Neal!
I mean, it goes back to what I said earlier. Without Johansson in the lineup, they've got a borderline first line, 2 third lines, and a 4th line. When Johansson is in there, you at least have something that resembles somewhat of a top 6. But, Robbie, you said time and time again this morning that these last 2 games at 5-on-5 have been 2 of the worst offensive performances you've seen in a long time from the Preds. I don't think that's a coincidence given Ryan Johansson being out of the lineup and the way the lineup looks without him in there.
don't think it is either. And look, it's not like they were lighting the world on fire with him in there anyway. I understand that, but right now they can't even get through the neutral zone with any sort of consistency. I mean, that's a problem. I mean, you've got to find a way to get in the zone and set up your attack, and they just haven't been able to do that with any sort of consistency in the last couple of games. Now, I realize the last two teams that they've played are the two best teams in the division so far right now, but part of that has been their success against the Predators. I mean, Tampa Bay has won three in a row against the Predators, five in a row overall. So,
well, and we've been hearing all along, too, since the beginning of the offseason, of being tougher to play against. But yeah, when you have a lineup like this, you're easy to play against when it comes to your own offense.
Yeah.
You're more tough to watch than to play against.
Yeah. I mean, part of being – I've said it before. Part of being tough to play against is scoring goals and playing well offensively. I mean, there's a physical element. There's a mental part of it that's absolutely important. But you also have to be able to score. And right now, this team can't do it. So – it's interesting. Like, I don't know how long Ryan Johansson is going to be out. I mean, week to week is not great when you hear what the timetable.
Yeah, week to week is not a good. That's not a good phrase.
It's not a good phrase, and especially this year, it's not a good phrase when you don't have a whole lot of weeks in the season to begin with. I mean, week to week is not good. But when you factor in the last season, the slow start to this season from a production standpoint, and now an injury, and who knows when he'll be back. I mean, it is, I think, fair to start to look at the future with Ryan Johansson and think, okay, what is it? Like, what is his future here in Nashville? Because I've said it. I thought this was going to be a crucial year for him, a put-up-or-shut-up year for him. And so far, it has not gone well. If he's out for the next couple weeks, next 3 weeks, and you get into a situation where the production at the end of the year just isn't there, I mean, what does the future look like for Johansson with this group?
I think there's – I really believe that he may have been moved had he not played the way he did in the bubble. So,
yeah.
Number one mute issue for you.
There we go.
Put it on the board, Porth.
Oh, you had a brief one, you know, just a few minutes ago.
You did.
You absolutely did. Don't give us that look.
It happened.
I feel like this is a little bit being ganged up on it. That was a blatant That was a blatant mute issue.
I just chose not to bring it up.
So we're calling it 1-1 today?
Yes, it's 1-1.
Okay.
One to half.
All right. Anyway, now I forgot what we were talking about.
Johansson.
Yeah. The bubble. He was good. And I think it kept him here. I don't know that Poile would have been able to move him, but I think that already, we talked about it a lot last year about Johansson's future. It's got to be close. And it's interesting with him because I could see another team looking at him and saying, oh, okay, we can work with this guy. But also, if you're any other team out there, you have to be saying, so what is going on with him? Why has this happened?
Yeah.
Because and then obviously you're talking about the contract. Well, and that's always part of this.
And there's been this theory thrown out there, and I've heard it from people on our text line, I've heard it from people on Twitter for the last year, and that is, well, he got paid, and now he's fat and happy, and he doesn't care. And I understand why that theory is there, but that theory would hold more water to me if after he got paid, he immediately wasn't productive. I mean, he got paid, and for the next 2 years, played really well for this team, was one of their best players. So
doesn't add up.
I don't buy the theory that, you know, Johansson has been paid and all of a sudden just said, you know what? All right, forget it. I don't care anymore. I'm done trying.
Yeah. I don't think that's it. I think he's legitimately frustrated and legitimately has wanted to get out of this, and he did respond briefly and was just tremendous up in Edmonton.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's just cruising along here. But
that's also the frustrating part with him is you see it at times, how good he can be. Like, I think back to the 2017 run and even 2018, the year after. He was so good in the playoffs. I mean, by far their best forward out there. So dominant. I mean, that series he had against Jonathan Toews, I remember Adam Vingan and I talking to him. And he was like, I mean, this series is what they brought me here for, to go up against a guy like Jonathan Toews and win those battles. And you saw him dominate in those games, and that always leaves you asking, all right, we've seen you do this. Why can you not do this more often? That, to me, has always been kind of that next step for Ryan Johansson is you've obviously shown the ability to do it. Why can't you do it more often?
So if you go back from the start of the Dallas series to now, it's been brief glimpses.
Yeah, very brief.
And it's been largely just underwhelming. So one thing is, Edmonton makes you think, okay, so it's in there. He can turn it on. But does it have to be a situation like that for him to find that? Because if so, that's too much money.
If that's the case,
that lack of production.
And if it's just a playoff thing where he turns it on, that's no longer acceptable. I mean, that's not good enough anymore. You've got to find more production in the regular season. And I don't believe that's the case. Does he play well in the playoffs? Has that been where he's played his best hockey for the Predators? Yes. Do I think that he's out there and saying, all right, I'm going to coast my way through the regular season, and then once the playoffs come around, I'm going to turn it on? No, but you do need to find way more consistency in the regular season. And quite honestly, I mean, if that doesn't happen when he comes back this year, you've got to start asking questions about what his future looks like, not just with him, lots of players on this team. Because he's so important to this group. If he's not productive, based on what we've seen, they just don't have a chance offensively to compete. He's got to be productive.
Well, but he's also a guy who, in a rebuild or a half rebuild or whatever, a retool, I mean, he's someone who could bring you back some assets to make that happen. I mean, who are the guys? Okay, you've talked about untouchables. You think there's two?
I've got two untouchables. Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi. That is it.
Of what you consider the non-untouchable, and I don't think Johansson's even close to an untouchable. I think certainly he'd be right there. Who could fetch the most, and whose contract could be the most movable? Those are two different things, obviously.
Arvidsson could fetch a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about money that it's not a whole lot of money.
Yeah, well, he's got a great contract that somebody would like to take on.
Right. And you don't. And if you're the Predators, you don't want to do that. But
no.
I mean, if you get to the end of this season and it's more of the same, I mean, you can't just leave things the way they are. I know that they had some change this past offseason. I think you'd have to change it up even more this next offseason if things don't get any better.
You'd have to start including the core pieces.
You would.
In changes. Because everything that they did with moves in the offseason were around
nibbled
the
around
edges.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, and that just if it goes the wrong way this year, that just won't be acceptable anymore. So, look, this is a huge week for them. And I know that we say that a lot, that every week in this season is big based on just how short this season is. But if you can't find a way to dig yourself out of this, you lose tonight against Tampa Bay, and somehow Detroit comes in here and wins a game, all of a sudden, I mean, you're in some serious trouble if you're the Predators.
Now, we do have Jeff, who says, hey, the last two losses were to the top teams, legit 2-1 losses. Those teams are a combined 14-2-3. So, see, there is sunshine to be found.
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand what he's saying about legit 2-1 losses. I mean, if not for Pecorine on Friday night, that game is 6 or 7 to 1.
Same for last night, too.
Last night. I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, they're legit 2-1 losses, but they're legit 2-1 losses with a couple empty netters added in there last night that your goalie absolutely bailed you out. So that's not the formula you want to have if you're the Predators moving forward here. And we'll have a lot more to touch on with the Nashville Predators today. But when we come back, it is time for Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Today's question of the day, one of Ryan Port's favorites. We'll get to it coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we've talked a lot about the Nashville Predators, a heavy topic. Not going well for the Predators right now. We're going to lighten the mood a little bit. It's Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road, and we have got your chance later today to win a gift card for Genesis Diamonds, a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card for the best question or the best answer that we received to our question today. And Ryan Porth, I know that this question for you has been one that you've looked forward to very much. This has been, of all the questions we're coming up on Love Week this week, and we've got some good ones coming down the pike, This may be your favorite.
It's probably my favorite because it involves dad jokes.
It does.
Because if you use a pickup line, sometimes you use a dad joke to try to break the ice with a male or a female.
Yes,
so
we can debate on how effective it is, but
well,
apparently, I mean, we have some examples of effectiveness. But that
it was
is
effective for me.
It was. It was very effective.
So you actually have a because that's. I was thinking about this one too. I'm terrible so far in this whole thing. So you've actually used like one of these cheesy ass pickup lines.
Yes, and I'm now
awesome.
Married to her today.
That's outstanding. Are you going to tell us right now what it
absolutely.
Was?
Absolutely. But the best we want to hear.
Yes.
The best pickup line or worst pickup line that you've used or heard.
That's correct. So yesterday we used the worst first date, and Austin had a great example of getting socked in the face by his wife at a concert. They got married, and 12 years later, they're happily ever after. Austin was our winner yesterday. If you have a pickup line that you've used that you just absolutely love or the best pickup line that you've heard, text it into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you will have a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. So without further ado, Ryan Porth, your pickup line story is what?
So Amanda and I initially met on Hinge, which is a dating app. It's a classier dating app than some of the others.
Oh, nice.
And it was time for me to get the number. So instead, back in my dating app days, I never liked just flat out asking for the number. Like, I wanted to be creative about it. So the way, say what?
A lot of thought into this.
Yes, yes. So the way I got Amanda's number, I said, I was just trying to log into my email, and the security question was, what is Amanda's number? Do you think you could help me out here? She still gives it to me every now and then that was the way that I got her number.
Did she immediately respond with the number?
It took a little bit.
Like, did she give you a little bit of crap first and then give you the number?
She did not give me any of that until we were probably a few months into dating, and she was like, "Yeah, that was just so bad.
That was the cheesiest."
But
line.
It wasn't a deal breaker.
No.
It was effective.
There you go. Maybe it actually worked.
As we learned yesterday, at least Porth knows where North Dakota is. That could have been the deal breaker in all of this.
Exactly.
That's a good line.
I like that. I think, yeah.
And God bless her for kind of sticking with it and powering through and saying, Ryan Porth, that's good enough for me.
See, it's one of those things where, like, of course she's going to, like, probably forever make fun of him about that.
Oh, yes.
But I bet you there was at least a little bit of, like, laugh there, right?
Oh, there's got to be.
Yeah. That wasn't bad.
Like, I
don't think that was bad at all.
He just pulled that out.
Yeah, that was good. So I've maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I've ever used, like, a pickup line.
Really?
Well, dude, like, have you?
Not really.
I mean,
not to that
I
extent.
I mean, they're funny.
No.
Like, it's like you're telling jokes, like, is your name Earl Grey? Because you look like a hot tea. Okay? I mean, I'm on a website right now with cheesy pickup lines. Like, there's a bunch of, what was it? Like, the stars in the sky? I don't remember. But,
you know, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll find that one. I'll find that one. You know, all these cheesy, they're funny. They're funny to tell, like, jokes. But actually using them?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've joked about this before.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever actually used
it. Gone up and, hey, let me tell you a line. You know, it's like, I mean, at the most, it'd be like, can I buy you a drink? But people who do use them, tip of the cap.
Yeah, like, I met my wife going into work. She worked at a TV station I was doing a TV hit for, and it took me like 6 months to go out with her. I was just like, all right, let's go out. That's what it was, and now we're married.
Yeah.
Porth's got a great story. Mine is much less creative.
Yeah, that's a good story, Porth. I know. That's the same thing with me. I mean, my wife and I were frenemies at a college newspaper, you know?
A frenemy?
Yeah, we were frenemies because I was the sports editor of the state news, Michigan State newspaper. She was the entertainment editor.
Oh, okay.
And so we had a shared page. And on Thursdays, she would leave early the last publication of the week and leave me to do the whole page and go to the bar with her friends.
Okay.
So we were frenemies. There was never a pickup line.
Okay.
I got nothing, man. I'm sorry. But I love some of these pickup lines.
Oh, they're going to be awesome.
I'm going to find the stars in the sky pickup line.
Yeah, I wish you would, because I would love to see what you're talking about on that front. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Steven from Nashville, who has some pickup lines. Steven, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Thanks for taking my phone call.
Absolutely.
Yes, I remember like 25 years ago, went to a club, and it was this guy, woman, one of the most beautiful women in the club, where all the guys were scared to talk to her or approach her. So this guy walked up to her and said, "Babe, what's your phone number? How can I get me some loving tonight?" So after that, 2 years later, she ended up pregnant and they've been married for 20-something years. What a story.
Wow.
Man. What a story.
So a pickup line with singing.
Sometimes you just got to be bold and go do it. That's a great story, Steven. We appreciate you calling in. I mean, look, I see that a lot if you're out. And back when we could go out and kind of hang out at bars and stuff, a lot of my friends are just scared to go make the move. Sometimes you just got to make the move. The worst they're going to say is no. Yeah. As long as you're not creepy about it.
"Hey, girl, I just thought you should know your mother's a thief because she stole the stars from the sky and put them in your eyes."
Oh, yeah. That was good.
That's it. That's the one. Oh, no. "Was your father an astronomer? Because he stole the stars from the sky and put them in your eyes." There's so many different variations of this. "Do you work for NASA?" I mean, there's so many different ways.
There are a lot of different ways you can go. But some of it, you've just got to have the courage to do it. And maybe that's the story with us, Joe. We've just never had the courage to try one of these pickup lines in person. Ryan Port did. Obviously, it worked out for him.
It wasn't in person.
Yeah.
Well, it was over the dating app.
I've never even done it over a dating app.
But see, Porsche was a customized. It was your number.
It's pretty good.
Like the general, "I don't know who you are. I'm walking up to you. Let me say something stupid right now." Hey, again, like if you have been able to pull that off
and it worked,
you're my hero. But I just.
What do you think the success rate is on that? Can't be high.
Yeah, I think like if the success rate is there, then you probably anything would have worked. Like how many, you know what I mean?
I wasn't sure, like, but he gave the astronomer line to me, and that was it.
Right, that's what they were already looking at each other, and so I think if you do it as a joke, then it's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I have subscribed to the theory that I think some of them can be so bad that the person's like, okay, yeah, that is so bad that I will give it a shot.
Right.
I think it's so funny that I'll give it a shot.
The fact that you actually tried that
is...
Shows
you're not afraid to take some risks.
"Do you have a shovel? Because I'm digging you."
That's a good one. See, we're doing this in the spirit of Valentine's Day, coming up on Sunday. So, fellas, just a reminder, you haven't bought that gift yet. I know that I saw that last week. I was like, oh, Valentine's Day, huh? Probably need to do something about that.
Also, take a cue from Ryan of the office. Don't start dating someone like on Saturday.
No. Yeah. Just save some time.
If you have a significant
next
other
next Monday
this week,
is a great day.
Yeah. If you have a significant other this week, great. If you don't, just take a week off.
The best time to start dating someone is February the 15th. There's zero question about that. When we come back, we are going to dive into the Tennessee Titans. We'll take your submissions for Love Week all show long here on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming back with the Titans grading the secondary today, starting with the cornerbacks, moving on to the safeties, all of that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.